Welcome this holiday Sunday. We welcome you here who are worshiping with us in person, those of you who are on Facebook, and those of you who are worshiping on the telephone. We hope you picked up your bulletin and your communion as you came in. And those of you at home, be prepared for communion later in the service. I'm glad to be back with you. I claimed we were in jail for almost 2 weeks. I got COVID somewhere. And since I'm a caregiver, Dorothy had to have it too. I wore a mask whenever I needed to help her, but that wasn't enough. So, well, I guess I can take it off now. You can hear me better. I really didn't have it very bad. It was like a bad cold. I've had all four shots. Yeah.
That's why.
That's why. And Dorothy had a really bad sore throat, went to her ears. So a week ago yesterday, we called our clinic and got the doctor on call. And we talked about 10 minutes, and he said, well, about all you can do for that sore throat is a painkiller. And we talked about what those might be, and I said, well, she can't take that, she can't take that. I have some Tylenol 3 left over from a surgery. We'll try that. 2 days, that was, her soreness was gone. And so she got out of quarantine yesterday. And Dr. Rick here suggested that when we're indoors with other people, we wear these things. And somebody told us that you could test positive for up to 90 days. So when we get inside with other people, we'll be wearing these things. Well, that's enough about COVID. We're glad you're here, and please join us as we begin our worship. Donna?
If you're able and you would like to stand for our call to worship, please feel free to do so. The Word of God is planted in our heart.
May our hearts be receptive to the Word.
The love of God rains down on us.
May our souls soak in the wonder of God's love.
The breath of God blows softly within us. Please join us now in singing "O Beautiful for Spacious Skies." That's hymn number 720 in your hymnal.
Thank you.
Dear God, on this beautiful morning, we give thanks for the beauty of the earth, for the mountain we see every day that reminds us of the responsibility we've been given to protect your creation. We give thanks that we have minds that allow us to analyze and to think for ourselves. We pray that we use our judgments wisely, not to be weighed down by dogma, but to see and share the love in and of our universe. We rejoice in this place and in this day. Amen.
It's time for the children to come down. And while you're doing that, I'm going to get a chair. Looks like we don't have many brave children.
Just all the rest of us.
Well, I saw that Pastor had a picture last week, and it was kind of glary as I watched it on TV. So, not TV, my computer. So I'll explain to you what it is. This is a young preacher at a pulpit. And he has a crowd of witnesses. It's a passage of scripture from Hebrews 12, verse 1. There are six in that crowd there. There's a man dressed in white with his hand on his shoulder. There's a young preacher there at the pulpit. You know, I was a young preacher at one time. In fact, I was 21 when I started preaching every Sunday, a senior in college. That man dressed in white is Jesus. Right, I have a letter written by the artist, and it names the people. There's one holding a tablet there that must surely be Moses. There's one holding a net, which I think is Peter. There's one that's John the Baptist. He doesn't have very nice clothes on, and he has a staff. I think that's John the Baptist. There's also Paul, and I don't know which one he is. There's Elisha, and I don't know which one he is either. But that's the great crowd of witnesses. There's two angels. They look like men holding torches. Incidentally, all the men mentioned in the Bible have men's names. All the angels, rather, have men's names. But you know, we like to make angels in our Christmas pageant women. I think that's nice. Actually, in real life, the angels tend to be women anyway. I'm talking about great lines that change lives in my sermon today. And this line from Hebrews is one of them. And you'll hear more. Let us pray. We thank you, God, for the lines from your word that make a difference in our life. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Hope everyone's doing well on this holiday weekend. Our scripture comes from Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moab wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. When they had lived there for about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons or her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had had consideration for his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you, or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. May God bless the reading of his scripture.
Hey, so furiously together, so furiously together. And why do the people imagine a vain thing? Imagine a vain thing. And why do the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers take counsel together. They
Thank you, Doctor. We were here early enough to hear him practicing, and he says he can't use that voice in the choir. He'd stand out too much. I also noticed his wife was mouthing the words. Well, we're doing a series on skipped over books of the Bible, and we're in Ruth now. In our entertainment saturated world, we hear lots of lines from movies. Most are quickly forgotten, but some we remember a long time. Those of us who have seen The Wizard of Oz, though we may not have been around or old enough to have heard it when it was first shown in the movie theater, it was released in 1939. Dorothy says to her dog, "Toto, I feel we're not in Kansas anymore." People quote that line whenever they feel like the world around them has changed. In 2001, Zoolander movie came out, and Will Ferrell said, "I feel like I'm taking crazy pills." This describes how some people are feeling today. The world of movies is not the only source of lines that shape our lives. Here are some of the great lines from the Bible. Psalm 23, verse 1, gives us comforting words. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 and 5. "Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious, boastful, arrogant, or rude." Paul put uplifting words in Philippians 4, 13. "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." And in his letter to the Romans 8:28, we are promised, "We know all things work together for good for those who love God There's also the verse that Martin Luther called the gospel in miniature. Most of you can quote it from memory. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then there's this famous one from today's text, verse 16, and I quote it from the King James Version. Whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. This verse is a special meaning for Dorothy and me. A man named Guy Singer put these words into a song in 1954. In 1958, Dorothy told me she wanted that song sang at our wedding in June of that year. I said, why? That's a commitment between two women. Well, I soon learned. Don't question the commitment of the 19-year-old girl I was about to marry. She wanted to let me know that was her commitment to our marriage. We were married on a Sunday, and her commitment started the very next Sunday. For 2 years, she got up with me and traveled 100 miles every Sunday morning so I could preach at my student preaching point. And even worse, we had an evening service and we drove back in the dark that 100 miles. We graduated from college and seminary at the end of those 2 years, and she moved with me to South Central Kansas. And after 3 years, we moved to Northwest Kansas with 6-week-year-old Carrie. And after 9 years, we moved to Nebraska with then just barely 9-year-old Karen and almost 7-year-old David. And after 14 and a half years, we moved to Iowa. Karen was out of college and married, and David was in college. And then after 11 years, that commitment changed. We started a new journey of 18 interim ministries. Two months of those were spent with many of you here in 2009. And almost 2 years of that in all of 2016 and most of 2017 across town at Village Christian Church. She kept her commitment to follow me 62 years until we finally stopped traveling around the country 2 years ago. That's what that verse in the Bible has meant for us. What's so special about lines from the Bible? For starters, they're true. They capture the important insights about the nature of God and human beings. The Lord is a caring and protective guide toward us, as the shepherd is for his sheep. God really does watch over us. Christ truly does strengthen us to face the challenges of life, as all things do tend to work together for God when we love and serve our Lord. These biblical verses and love serve our Lord as we serve Him. They are exact summaries of the bigger truths. For example, the line from the book of Ruth, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." This line shaped their lives because it captures the entire story of the book of Ruth. It brings to mind the faithfulness of Ruth to her mother-in-law, Naomi, which in turn is a picture of God's faithfulness to us. And it reminds us of Christ's promise never to leave us or forsake us. Let me briefly review Ruth's story. Back in the days when the judges ruled the people of Judah, there was a famine in the land. A man named Elimelech of Bethlehem fled the famine and went to the land of Moab. He took his wife and two sons with him. The man died in Moab. His sons married Moabite women. They were named Orpah and Ruth. Then the two sons died, and that left all three women without means of support. By this time, the famine in Judah was over. So Naomi decided to return to Judah, where she had family. She tells her daughters-in-law they should go back to their families there in Moab. They first reject her solution. But eventually, Orpah does consent to return to her people. But Ruth, however, clings to Naomi and utters the now famous lines from chapter 1, verse 16. Ruth went to Bethlehem with Naomi, and Naomi arranged that she meet a relative named Boaz. Now, you may want to read that because that's kind of an interesting story. How, Ruth seduced Boaz. Anyway, Ruth married Boaz and gave birth to a son. He became the grandfather of King David, and that makes Ruth David's great-grandmother, and incidentally, an ancestor to Jesus. Now, let's not assume that love and faithfulness always leads to a perfect Hollywood ending. When Ruth promises to stay with Naomi, neither woman knows that there will be a husband and a child for Ruth, or a home and food for either woman. When Naomi gets to Bethlehem, she says, "Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara," which means empty, for that's how she felt. The Hollywood ending is the story of Ruth is not what is real, though it is like a miracle. The promise Ruth made to Naomi is also God's promise to each of us. Where you go, I go. Where you lodge, I lodge. This is real. The love and faithfulness of the one true God is every time, in every place, and in the face of any hardship, loss, or failure. That's a line you can shape, and it will shape our lives. And to that, you can say amen. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for the many lines in your word that speak to us in promise and in fulfillment. Amen. We have a number of joys and concerns on the prayer list for today. Sharon Towson had a successful surgery for a knee replacement. And as many of you who've been through that know, she faces some weeks of rehab. We found that true in our house. Please keep Diane Ashton in your prayers. As of Wednesday, she was in ICU at Penrose, Maine. Some of you may have seen Ray walking around earlier, but he had a scare with a heart procedure last week. Continue to keep him in your thoughts and prayers. Add Pastor Jonathan and family to your prayers. Annie's younger brother, Isaac, died after being hit by a car. Holly asked that we add her friend, Sean Woollett, to prayer list. He's been on dialysis for 23 years and has decided to stop that treatment and go on hospice. Julie Canalis' mother-in-law, Angela, was admitted to the hospital last week and is fighting two different viruses. Let us pray. Oh Lord, as we come to you this 4th of July weekend and remember the founding of our country, we find our country at odds. We seem to be in the situation of having to speak the middle verse of our Pledge of Allegiance to our flag in a different frame of reference than intended. It's as if one nation under God, indivisible, is being spoken as a plea rather than as a statement of fact. God, please lead us as a people to be more kind to one another. We pray that you will comfort those who have special needs this day, including those just mentioned, those suffering because of the war in Ukraine, those who have suffered loss from the many senseless shootings around this country, and those not known to us at this hour who need your concern and care. Now we pause for those worshiping with us on Facebook to type in their joys and concerns, and those on the conference call to speak on their phones their joys and concerns as well. Now we continue our prayer as we pray the most well-known lines of all that have shaped lives throughout the centuries. These lines Jesus taught his disciples as we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our communion hymn is from the Chalice Hymnal, number 722, verses 1 and 3. This table has been the most important part of worship in the Christian church since our beginning in the 17th century. I've often said, if for some reason we were forced to make a choice between a sermon and the communion, I would be without a job. Again, we're talking about lines that affect and change our lives. And the lines at this table, which Jesus said, are some of the important ones. On that night when he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and he broke it. "This is my body, which is broken for you." He took a cup and he poured it. And he said, "This is my blood, which is poured out for you." And these two elements represent his giving his life for our sins. Before him, people had to go to the temple to make sacrifices. He made the one great sacrifice for all time, for us. And now we participate in his great sacrifice for our sin. We pause for the prayers of the elders.
Dear all-knowing, all-loving God, we do not know what tomorrow will bring. Show us how to not be afraid of tomorrow, and to believe that you are in control. Remind us that your grace is enough. As we eat this bread, a symbol of Christ's body, let us be reminded that you will provide us with all that we need. Fill us with joy, fill us with peace, and let our lives run over with hope for a new tomorrow. Amen.
Father God, we praise you this morning for your providence over each of us. You have not left us to fend for ourselves on this earthly plane, apart from your grace and guidance. Upon reflection of your personal involvement in our lives, I'm reminded today of the TV action series from the 1980s, The A-Team, along with the iconic line from its lead protagonist, Colonel John Hannibal Smith, who at successful conclusion of a mission to help an oppressed person refreshingly utters, "I love it when a plan comes together." And so it is with you, Lord. Your plan for our individual lives gives each of us purpose and a mission on this earth. Perhaps most aptly stated in Jeremiah 29:11, where you promise us, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans for your welfare and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope." May our obedience to you, Lord, allow it to be so. Now, Father, during this time of year when we celebrate the birth of our great nation and honor those patriots who through the centuries gave their life and limb to defend and preserve our country, we humbly ask a blessing over this cup, emblematic of your sacrificial blood spilled for us on Calvary. In the blessed name of our Redeemer, amen.
As you partake of the communion today, give a word of thanks for what Jesus gave us that we might have our sins forgiven forever.
Thank you.
Tomorrow, we celebrate living in a country where we cherish life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Last week, 53 migrants lost their lives in a tractor trailer in their efforts to obtain life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Our great country has great problems. Jesus tells us, as much as you've done it to one of the least of these, you have done it unto me. So as you walk or drive the streets of Colorado Springs and see our homeless population, you may be uncomfortable or you may wonder what difference you can make. Giving through an offering to First Christian brings your gifts together with the gifts of others so we can make a difference. I encourage you to give today so that your gifts and mine, when added together, can make a difference in the lives, liberty, and pursuit of happiness of others. If you also want to give of your time, the church has many opportunities to share that talent. One opportunity this month is to show your support of a frequently marginalized community. Our church is having a booth at the Colorado Springs Pride Fest on July the 23rd and 24th. If you would like to participate, see Nancy May after church or go online to sign up to man the booth. Whatever way you choose, give your time, give your money to the glory of God.
Thank you, Donna. The page 6 shows you the various ways you can share with the church and with our many outreaches for the community and around the world. You can begin by the box at the head of the aisle down there. There are announcements in the bulletin of things that are to come. And one that's not there is next week is Noisy Offering, second Sunday of the month. And I've not been told as to what it'll go to, but Thursday's newsletter will tell you. I think I've run out of things to say, so we should go to the closing hymn, and if there are any here who want to join us in our journey of faith, I'd be glad to receive you as we sing our closing hymn, found on page 725, God of the Ages.
Thank you.
Oh, well. As you go your way this week, remember all the lines in your life that have guided you and perhaps even changed you as you go through the journey of your faith.